and welcome to the MJA podcast. I'm Kate Swanell and I am your intrepid host. One local health district recently conquered the dark arts of social media, producing an extraordinary Facebook campaign around a single public health protection message. Kira Glasgow, an epidemiologist, and Dr. Catherine Bateman-Steele, Deputy Director of the Public Health Unit at the South Eastern Sydney Local Health District, are my guests today, and they're going to tell us how they managed it. What prompted you to write this research letter? Perhaps I'm meaning the Ross River fever outbreak, or what was it that got you interested in this?
First of all, we should probably say it wasn't an outbreak, and taking a step back, you know, talking about public health, one of the things that we need to do is to reach people very quickly and effectively to prevent potential outbreaks, which is what happened in this particular case where we knew we had an increased risk. The reason, I guess, we wrote the letter is because we had such amazing success with our campaign within a very short period of time. We wanted to communicate with people about what was successful about this and how it can be done and where it is useful. And I suppose what we learned from our experience is that when there are very specific audiences for a very specific and immediate risk, that we can utilize some of the tools within mm-hmm. social media, some of the inbuilt tools in terms of Facebook analytics and other types of tools in social media to basically achieve our public health needs, which is something that we haven't necessarily tried previously or at least really sort of taken advantage of. You know, thinking back to what actually occurred in this particular instance, what we had was a situation where we had a detection of Ross River virus in the mosquitoes along the Georges River. That was detected through our Mosquito Sentinel Surveillance Program in place across New South Wales. And so we had a very targeted geographic location. We
yes.
had a river where we knew that people who were either living along the river or engaging activities along the river could potentially be at risk and very immediate risk. So we would normally in that situation go to traditional media. So we would put it in our local news, try and engage some of the community groups. But on this particular occasion, it was actually a last-minute idea by one of our environmental health officers. Recognize that this group was actually already quite well connected on social media. There's
yep.
various fishing groups, the recreation groups, hiking groups that are not only Sydney-based but also activity-based. So the idea really was, can we reach this group faster than traditional media and more effectively than traditional media?
Did you already have a Facebook presence?
We had at the time a Twitter presence. And
right.
We've had that, I think, since about September 2014. At the time, I think the policy was that the public health unit itself couldn't have a Facebook page, but the local health district that we are a part of did. And so we were able to contact our media advisors within that unit and be able to use the Facebook presence they already had established.
Did Facebook give you a lot of help?
Facebook gave us, I wouldn't say no help. we certainly didn't ask Facebook for any help. It wasn't like it was ever offered or denied. But we really used the skills of our communications team
yes.
in the local health district, who were able to manipulate the boosted post in such a way as they thought it would work. There was some back and forth about trying to interpret some of the information on the Facebook business analytics website.
Yeah.
What an actual cost was and what a reaction was and various things like that, trying
yeah.
to estimate how much we needed to invest to get a result. And that's why this really was a bit of trial and error. We thought we'd put $50 in and see what we
and
got
see
out.
What happened. Yeah, it is hard to know whether somebody reacting to a post actually leads to any behaviour change.
In that particular campaign, we were able to see at least some suggestion of behaviour change because
yeah.
we could look at the comments, and in the comments we could see that people were saying either I'm not going on the river, or actually there was people saying I'm going to take my repellent with me. So there was some suggestion of behaviour change coming out in the comments.
Facebook gave you a figure of 0.05 cents per engagement. What is that meaningfully? Do you feel like you've gotten value for money out of the exercise?
Yeah, I think so. So I think, yes, you're right. It's very hard to understand how that 0.05 is calculated. There's a algorithm that runs in the background that takes into account things like clicks and comments and shares, and that's what they come out with. But that is one of the best results that we have seen, not only for a public health campaign on Facebook, but at the time it was the most successful campaign run by the local health district social media team. So it's a great result, especially I think as well, knowing that there were particular comments where it was very clear that people were changing their activity based on the information that we had provided. So there was one particular comment I remember where the person had tagged a friend and said, "Isn't this where you're going this weekend?" And that person responded and said, "Not anymore." So to be able to see that decision-making process and that in of people who are considered at risk, you know, that wouldn't necessarily have occurred through traditional media, or at least we wouldn't have been able to measure that immediately through traditional media.
And it was really interesting to see the community themselves self-selecting, so they would actually be deciding who do I think needs to know this message. Traditional media, we're putting out a message, we hope people get it, but we really don't know who we're sending it to, whereas in this case the community was more engaged in that particular tag these people because I think that they're at risk, and so they're more involved and more engaged in that.
My guests today are Kira Glasgow and Catherine Bateman-Steele from the South Eastern Sydney Local Health District and the University of New South Wales. Their research letter is available at mja.com and, like all our research, is open access. Can you see yourselves doing this more often in the future?
So we actually developed a project out of this because this was a trial and we were so amazed at its potential. So we took it forward and we managed to get some innovation funding from our district to explore it a little bit more. So we've done a few more campaigns since there. We actually got a communications project officer into the office. That was someone with a communications background and worked with our media office to develop a few more campaigns and try to explore a bit the sort of messages and the sort of platforms that work for health protection messages in particular, looking very specifically at the type of issues that we deal with. And interestingly, we probably did four or five more campaigns, and nothing has been as, I wouldn't say as successful because there's different types of success, but nothing has so immediately reached as many people with such a clear impact in the way that this one did. And I think what we're sort of learning a lot about is, in this case, there was a new risk identified in a particular well-connected community and who were geographically well-connected and then also very well-connected on social media as well. And when you tap into a situation like that and you throw a new risk into that environment and then people share very quickly, it's much more difficult so we tried things like, say, rabies, because we see a lot of return travellers who have been bitten in rabies endemic areas.
Right.
Have to have a lot of treatment afterwards, and people don't realise quite what's involved in that situation. So for a long time, we've been wanting to try to prevent that situation because we do see so many. So we thought maybe this would be good for that, but what we found is it's an old risk in a lot of ways. It's something that has always been out there. People know about it.
Yes.
Everyone's kind of seen a rabies poster at some point. So there was nothing particularly new about the message. And also the traveller community, the people that we're trying to target, whilst they might be on social media, they just weren't connected in the way that in this case it was a small geographical area who were well connected. There wasn't the tagging and the sharing. So we realised that for that particular situation, whilst it's a useful adjunct, it just wasn't as good as for the Ross River situation.
The people that we were targeting as well, they see themselves as a community, even if they're not geographically connected. People who are fishing are a community of fishers, and the people who are hiking are very much a community of hikers, whereas you don't really have a community of travellers as such. Certainly works when you can see that physical community playing out in a social media space. it does seem to improve the impact.
I think what we've, we've started doing a bit more research into the area and speaking to people. I mean, we're not experts in social media, and there are lots of people out there who are. And I think what we're starting to learn from those people and from reading about it more is that the real strengths are around the conversation and the engagement. It's where people interact and discuss topics and engage with each other around different issues. And it's if you can tap into that conversation that it's really effective. So it's working out where are the conversations happening, who's having them, and how can we join into that in a way that's actually valuable for people as well. Putting out our there's a risk sort of message it's about us actually engaging with the community. So we're now trying to explore that a little bit more about how we might be more engaging.
I think we also have to be conscious that Facebook and other social media platforms are a constantly changed space. They're defined by the users that use them. There was a point when Facebook was considered a young user's tool, and now we know that it's a lot more of a 30 to 45. As younger users at the moment are moving often to Instagram and Pinterest and various things. You know, it's one of those things where we have to be aware that it is a constantly changing space, and we need to understand the audience that uses the platform as well as the audience's way that they interpret a message.
We're still trying to take it forward because one, we don't really understand, or we haven't really been making full use of the work that's being done around the analytics, being able to really understand the impact and to evaluate. So we've been trying to get a better sense of how you do evaluate these types of campaigns, and we've got some ideas around that, but there's a lot more that's being done about it. So we'd certainly like to understand that. And then the other thing is to really understand other platforms. So as Kira said, we've used Twitter, and that can be good, but because Twitter's so fast,
it is.
They just go through so quickly.
Yep.
And Twitter really is about that really quick conversation and witty often conversation. And it's very hard for a large organization to be involved in that, as you'd well know, because we have to have our tweets approved often before they go out and that sort of thing. So we can't be as quick and reactive and responsive. But we've been thinking about trying Instagram. The visual side of it would be really interesting, and public health is often something which people don't really visualize to see inside the black box of public health. So we're thinking about Instagram and looking at some other platforms.
And funnily enough, that is one of the things when we did this campaign and we were talking to communications about how shocked they were about how successful it was. One of the first things they felt drove the success of this campaign was actually the image. We were very lucky to have Stephen Dockett, who runs the mosquito surveillance program, provide us with the image of the mosquitoes that we put up that was on the boosted post. And it was a really striking visual color that sort of was very distinct from any Facebook colors. So it sort of stood out against the various things as you scrolled through.
You got a pretty decent percentage of people out of the reach.
Yeah, we reached 294,000 people. It was amazing, of which we only paid for, I think, 16,000 of those. So we had a huge unpaid reach, which meant that people were really tagging in the right members of the target group that they thought were appropriate, which is massive. Yeah, we certainly did have quite a few engagements. We had 13,000, just over 13,000 engagements. Yeah. And most of those, you know, having a further breakdown of this, and I know that this isn't provided in our article, but, you know, a huge proportion of that was actually clicks on that photo, on that image. I suppose one thing that we haven't really talked about is traditional media. And I guess it is kind of important to say that I don't think social media can replace traditional media. Traditional media certainly has a place, say, the public health unit website that talks about what the specific issue is. And I think that we still need that, and we still need to provide that. Where this really does help, when it's done well, where it helps is knowing that the message is getting there quickly and effectively as well.
Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.